series, and I'm only going to keep you actually for another about 15 minutes. We're not going to be here much longer, but we wanted to make this a special night, a time where we just kind of come together and get our hearts and our heads right as we just think about this season, and we think about what it means. We get our minds out of all the busyness and the shopping. I've been to Walmart in the last couple of days, and out off Hewlin where the mall is, and it's just been hectic. But tonight we come together and we celebrate the birth of our Lord. Let me share with you a story. Alfred Nobel was a Swedish physicist who invented dynamite. His intentions were to make an explosive that could be used to move rock and carve out new roadways. That was his full intention. And he wanted to make life better for us all. But the problem was is that people took his creation and began to use it for destructive purposes to kill people in war and make war. Well, then one day in the spring of 1888, Alfred's brother Ludwig, he died. And that week, he came across the headline in a French newspaper who mistakenly thought it was Alfred who passed away. This was like the first fake news. They mistakenly thought that Alfred passed away and not they didn't know it was his brother. And that week he came across this headline in the French newspaper, and the headline read, "The Merchant of Death is Dead." The article described him as the man who made it possible to kill more people more quickly than anyone else who ever lived. And Alfred would later describe reading the article like reading his own obituary. He was depressed to know that his invention was to be made known was going to be made known for more misery, and it would cause more misery than good. And that's when he took $9 million back in the 1800s. You can imagine that's a substantial, it's a lot of money today. He took $9 million, he put it into an account, and he began awarding people for promoting peace. And this day is what launched, and to this day, it's what launched what we know today as a Nobel Peace Prize. That's the story of the Nobel Peace Prize. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for peacemakers, those who can reward for peace, that he can reward for being peacemakers. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, it says this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And tonight we conclude this series. We've been doing this for about 4 weeks now. And if you've not been with us, I'm going to give you a really brief summary, because every week I've been summarizing, and I summarized for about 20 minutes this morning. But I am going to just kind of fill you in. We are in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, this is what it's read. Now, I want you to remember this. This is in the Old Testament. This is before Jesus came. It's 700 years before Jesus came, and this is Isaiah the prophet prophesying about what is to come. God is giving him this vision about what is to come. The people were very rebellious, and Scripture says they were living in darkness. They were walking in darkness. They were sitting in darkness. Some of the passages read, or some of the verses read. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we see that a virgin will conceive and bring forth a son, and his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Then we move to chapter 9, verse 6, and it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." A child being born is Jesus coming in humanity. He's born like you and I, the natural way. And to us, a son is given. This is Jesus, divine, fully human, fully God. Fully human, fully divine. "And the government shall be upon his shoulders." This speaks of him being a king. And in Isaiah calls him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." And these are the four throne names that we've been talking about all week. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, And then tonight we're going to talk about what it is, what this last one is, Prince of Peace. But I want you to remember this. These are not just names. These are not just the names of Jesus. These were some of the reasons why he came. He came to be our counselor. When it talks about mighty God, he came to be that all-powerful God in our lives. When it talks about him being an everlasting father, he came to be that father figure in our lives. And then this last one, Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. So today it's rare to find people at peace, isn't it? I can find busy people. I can find tired people. I can find stressed out people. But I can't find a whole lot of people who are at peace. We are living in one of the busiest times I can imagine that I've known since I've been born. In John 14, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So Jesus makes it clear, one of the reasons he has come is to bring peace. He is a representation of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. When we see him, when we see how he lives his life, as we read through Scripture, and as we come to know him, we come to know peace. So a prince in these days was a ruler, a leader, and peace means is a state of rest, a place of tranquility. And there's 790 verses in the Bible on peace. And tonight I'm going to read all 790 of them. No, I'm teasing. But I've read several of them this week, and there's this theme that we come to know as we read these verses throughout the Bible that refer and talk about peace. And so here's what we, and this is going to be real brief. I'm going to give you 3 points of what it means when we talk about Jesus as Prince of Peace. There are 3 kinds of peace, and you're going to see this up on the screen here. There is peace with God. In Romans 5:1, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So those of you who have trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, you have peace with God. You have made peace with God, and he has made peace with you. He is the Lord of your life. He has set you at peace. All of your past sins, all of your present sins, all of your future sins have been forgiven, and you are at a place of peace with him. That is peace. That's what it means to have peace with God. This is a spiritual peace. This is an eternal peace, to have peace with God. Number 2 is peace within. When Jesus, the Prince of Peace, was born, there began a point when man could finally have peace within himself. This is the peace of God. This is the peace of God. In Colossians 3:15, it says this, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." We are to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. There is a peace for every problem, for every worry in your heart, for every conflict in your heart. There is a peace. He provides you a peace within. And then finally, number 3, there's peace with others. Jesus came. He was born. He was this child born in a stable. And when he was born in a stable, he not only brought to us peace with God and peace within, but he brought to us peace with others. He showed us, and he continues to this day to show us how to have peace with others. This is a relationship peace. This is a peace that we can have with other people. In Romans chapter 12, verse 18, it says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. We are peacemakers. We are peacemakers. The further away you get from God, the more it messes up your relationships with others. The less at peace you are with others. The more out of whack you are with God, the more out of whack you are in your relationship with others. The more you grow close to him, the more you gaze upon him, the more you come to know him, the more you experience his presence in your life, the more you'll experience his peace. You'll have peace with him, you'll have peace within yourself, and you'll have peace with others. Again, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And you might say, "Well, I don't understand this whole peace thing." But here's the thing, you don't have to understand them. They don't have to understand these points to be at peace. What you need is not explanation. You need God's presence. You need to know him closely and know him deeply. And here's some of the things that I like to say here at Bear Creek. I try to continue to encourage people, first of all, to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And what that means is making a personal decision to trust Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, just because you grew up in a family, because there's some people who say, you know, my mom's a Christian, my dad's a Christian, and therefore I must be a Christian. Look, being a Christian is a personal decision to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. All right? So saying my mom's a Christian, my dad's a Christian, therefore I must be a Christian is like saying my mom and dad are married, therefore I must be married. It doesn't make any sense. It is a decision that you trust him. Then there's those who say, you know, I'm a sincere person, and if I'm a sincere person and I'm pretty good, I'm going to make it to heaven. But look, you can be sincerely wrong. And if you stood at the top of a building and you thought, if you jumped off a 10-story building that you would live, you would be sincerely dead, right? So you can be sincerely wrong. And then there are those that say, you know, well, God, he knows that I am a good person. And so they see God as kind of this God that has a scale, and he'll measure and weigh all the good that you've done. And in the end, if the good outweighs all the bad, he's going to say, I open up my heaven for you. Come on in. And that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says that we get in on Jesus' ticket. The Bible says there are none good, not even one. None of us are good. None of us are good enough. None of us are righteous enough. And no matter how, he says in his word that our good deeds are like filthy rags, because all it takes is one sin against him. And so how do we get there? We get there on Christ's ticket. We get there by what Christ has done. And so when we talk about this baby being born in a manger, the story is that he grew, right? He grew up. He lived among us. He showed us, and he exemplified the life that he intends for us to live. And then he was falsely accused. He was put on a cross. And here's why he was put on that cross. He was put on the cross not for sins that he had done, but he took on the sins of the world. That means your sins and my sins. And when he was hung on that cross, and he died on that cross, he took your place. It was like you're in a courtroom. You've been found guilty. The judge has sentenced you to death, right? And instead of you getting the electric chair, Jesus stepped in and he took your place, and he died on the cross, and the judge set you free. And so it's a personal decision to trust him. And so here's what we like to say at Bear Creek. If you want to get to know the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, first you have to be saved. But here's what I desire for you next is it's, you know, there are a lot of saved people in the church, but there's not a lot of healed people, and there's not a lot of free people in the church. And so the next step is to experience God's healing from the ravages of sin in your life. And so you come to Christ, and then you start to experience God's healing, his forgiveness, right? And you start making peace with your past. And then you start to understand that it's the truth of God that sets you free, and you start to experience the freedom in Christ. And so that's my prayer for you tonight. That's my prayer for you this Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the peace that you brought us. Thank you for the peace of God. Thank you for the peace with God. And thank you that you have given us peace with others, Lord. And as we turn to you tonight, as we recognize what this week signifies, the birth of our Lord, we celebrate your goodness, Lord. We love you, Father. Thank you for every family represented here, Lord. I pray you continue to speak into their lives, draw them to yourself. Help each of us get to that decision that we know, that we know, that we know we have a relationship with you. We have trusted you as Lord and Savior. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are going to... That is so funny. I forgot about the gift. I give a gift away every service in the month of December. And these kids are going, is he gonna pass out this gift? Thank you, Chris. We're gonna sing Silent Night in just a little bit, but did everybody get a number when they came in the door? All right? Well, Chris, come on over here. You're gonna be my number drawer. Sometimes it takes about 3 or 4 numbers because I have so many in there. 63? 63? This is not bingo. Somebody yelled bingo. 92? It takes time sometimes. Sometimes it takes, I think we went up to 6 this week. 24. Yes! Oh, man! His dad won the gift this morning. This thing must be rigged. You are going to love this one, Cooper. Now you got to open it, okay? In front of everybody. Okay, so we're kicking it old school. This is Pac-Man. And Pac-Man hooks up to the TV. This is, and let me tell you something, Cooper, this is real video gaming, okay? The video gaming that you're playing today is fake video games, okay? This is the real deal right here. Hook that up to your TV and go play Pac-Man tonight, okay, before you go to bed. Yeah, I got it. I'm going to have my wife come. And she is going to light the candle tonight, and we're going to sing Silent Night. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace.
Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful Christmas. Kids, make sure you pick up your cookies in the kitchen. You can icing them there. We certainly hope that you have a great Christmas evening. Remember Christ and keep him at the center.